This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to Place to Be Nation's Extra Point with knowledgeable analysts and exclusive special guests. It's your look at the world of sports through the eyes of Place to Be Nation. And now your hosts, Scott Criscolo and Dr. G, George Ribellino.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to your home for everything sports. It is episode 41, the Franchise Edition of Place to Be Nation's Extra Point. I'm your co-host, Scott Criscolo. We got a fun show for you tonight, a week in the making. We'll explain that a little bit later on. But we got a lot to talk about. Our spring sports seasons have concluded. We have a new Stanley Cup champion. We have a new NBA champion. The Stanley Cup champion, very familiar, at least this decade. I think they've already established themselves as the hockey team of the decade. And a new NBA champion, one that has not lifted the trophy in 40 years. 40 years. 1975 was the last time this team won the NBA title, and we'll talk about that today. But let me bring in my compadre, who was with me earlier this week on another platform, on another planet. Could they save the stratosphere for you and me? He knows where that's from. The doctor. Dr. G. George Ribellino.
Thank you, Scott.
Remember that promo when he told, right before, I think it was Bash 86, when he told Flair, we're going to put the Hossman on another planet.
The Hossman.
He used to say, it wasn't Arn Anderson, it was Arn Anderson.
It sounded like he had that, like a New England accent with the Texas drawl.
Well, it was funny watching that that special they did on the network about him. You know, he not only played, he was in trial camps with the Giants, with the Patriots, and the old Hartford Charter Oaks from the old Continental Football League. So yep. He spent some time in New England. Yep. Anyway, we're of course talking about the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, and the doctor joined me last week on Main Event. When we had a little one of our segments, we talked about.
Well, the pleasure was all yours.
The legacy of the great. Yeah. You know, it's funny. They didn't do a. I feel they kind of ripped off everybody and did not do a Larry Land T-shirt when the Hall of Fame T-shirts came out. Which, by the way, they're all like $8 right now on shop.com. All the Hall of Fame T-shirts. I told my PIC, Mr. Azzaro, that the Diesel Power T-shirt is only $7.99. I want to get the Tatsumi Fujinami shirt. It's pretty badass. It's red with the white, like, I guess it's his name or something in Chinese or Japanese letters. So, pretty interesting.
Get it right.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, pleasure, doctor.
Lots going on in the sports world.
Yes. We've got, we have one of the four, we have the second of four golf majors going on as we speak, as we're recording on Sunday. The U.S. Open taking place at Chamber Bay. Up in Washington State, and I think Jordan Spieth is still winning. We'll keep tabs as we're recording, but we will talk NHL, we will talk NBA, and then in our second segment, we're going to do something that we're kind of going to break the fourth wall, breaking kayfabe. We meant to do this show earlier in the week, but a lot of outside things did not allow us to. Things in our lives, because life does go on. So earlier in the week, we sat down with our MLB guy, Mr. Joel Barnhart, to talk about things in Major League Baseball right now. Most of it's still timely, and we'll play that in segment two. He sat down with the doctor and I earlier in the week. Not much has really changed. We did have a no-hitter since Joel was on with us. Max Scherzer threw a no-hitter for the Nationals on Saturday. He had a perfect game. He got the first 26 guys out, Dr. G. And then he hits a guy. former Yankee, I think, right? Jose Tabata?
Tabata, yeah. And I'll tell you, it looks like he leaned into that pitch, to be honest.
I think he did, too. I think he's a piece of trash.
But,
piece of trash, son. So, but anyway, congrats to Max Scherzer, who threw a no-hitter, the second of the season. The other one was by that kid, what is it, Fenton, or is it Benton? Now I don't remember. The kid for the Giants that no-hit the Mets. I'm trying to block it out of my memory.
What's his name?
I think it's Benton. Let me confirm. I apologize, but again, I tried to blank it. I tried to block it out of my mind.
the thing is that, you know, Max Scherzer, I mean, you figure he came in with a lot of pressure this year with that big contract, and he's really, really done a good job. I mean, Washington just has had a lot of injuries. And
Chris Heston. That's the guy who no-hit the Mets. So the second no-hitter of 2015 was this past Saturday by Max Scherzer. Yeah, I mean, a lot of money. And the Giants, after what happened this weekend in the Mets, the Giants or the Nationals probably, you know, back in first place. But let's talk first about the two spring sports that have come to an end. They came to an end this past week. We'll start off on the Frozen Pond. And congratulations, for the third time in six seasons, the Chicago Blackhawks are Stanley Cup champions. They beat the Tampa Bay Lightning in Game 6 at home, 2-1. Or was it 2-0? To win their third Stanley Cup in 6 years. They beat the Flyers in 2010. They beat the Bruins in 2013. And they beat the Lightning. So you want to talk about a complete?
It's a great organization.
Yep.
You know, going into the series, you know, I like the Blackhawks to win, and they did just that. I mean, you know, Tampa Bay did the best they could, but I just think, you know, they just got beat by a better team.
Tampa Bay is very young. I mean, they've got a lot of good young Russian players.
They caught the Rangers off guard. The Rangers didn't really play that well.
No, they didn't. And I think Ben Bishop getting hurt, although Vasilevsky played fairly well, as best as he could. I mean, the first five games of that series were all decided by a goal. So it wasn't like and at one point in that series, Tampa was up 2-1. And it went exactly as it did in 2013, except in reverse in terms of who had home ice. Because the Bruins won game 3 at home in that series to take a 2-1 lead. Right. And then the Blackhawks won 3 in a row. And the Bruins just got outskated. I mean, I've said that for the last couple of years. But congratulations to Joel Quenneville and his Chicago Blackhawks and CM Punk too. Your 2015 Stanley Cup champions.
You have to call them the dynasty of this decade, I guess.
They are a dynasty. There's no doubt about it. Because let me tell you something. And I've talked to this with my brother. There is no of the four trophies. You might disagree on this, but of the four North American trophies, in my opinion, the most difficult to win is the Stanley Cup. The rounds are longer, and it's just grueling. Grueling. I think it's even slightly more grueling than the NBA playoffs.
Yeah, it's tough. I don't really disagree with you. It's tough. I mean, it's really gotten tough for all the sports. I mean, even for baseball now, you have the extra round, you know, plus after an 162 game season. All right, it's not the physical nature as hockey and basketball is, but you know, I guess in every sport in their own ways, it's tough. But the Stanley Cup playoffs are grueling. But let me tell you something. I have to say something. Stanley Cup hockey is awesome. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, there's nothing more exciting than some, you know, good hockey playoffs. You get a lot of game sevens.
Yep.
You know, at least in the last, I would say 10 years, I would say there's a lot of game sevens.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just exciting. I love it. I love playoff hockey. I probably watch hockey more during the playoffs than I do during the regular season.
Yeah, this is the first time probably that the Bruins weren't in, oh, God, probably 2005, I think, 2006 probably was the last time the Bruins didn't make the playoffs. So it was fun to watch from a objective viewpoint. And there was some great series. I mean, I still remember that Game 7. At the Garden between the Rangers and Caps, the Rangers won. And then, I mean, I remember I was at JR's house when Game 7 was going on, and the Lightning just outplayed them in Game 7 at the Garden. Now, looking ahead, and probably sometime in July, August, we'll have and you know that I love saying his name. We'll have our man TJ McLoon back on. We'll talk about the draft, the NHL draft, and we'll talk about next season. My opinion, I'm giving you my preseason, I'm giving you my early prediction right now, Dr. G. I think next year's Stanley Cup final will be a rematch between the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Chicago Blackhawks. Although this time, I think the Lightning win.
Really?
Yeah,
wow,
I do.
You're going out on the record.
I think they are, again, are a fantastic team. Victor Hedman, Anton Strahlman, all these good young kids. And it's a very small window for Tampa Bay because they're going to have to re-sign all these guys. And Tampa doesn't, I don't know if they got that kind of scratch to bring all these guys back. And Steven Stamkos isn't getting any younger either. So I don't think there's any doubt that Tampa has a very small window. And I think they can, I think they can run the table next year and be Stanley Cup champions. Do not count out Chicago, of course. Another team that you shouldn't count out was a team that finished with the most points in the West last year. That was the Anaheim Ducks, who lost an incredible... I mean, the excitement this year in the Stanley Cup playoffs, because you had both conference finals, the East and the West, both go seven games. And Tampa Bay, I mean, Anaheim had a fantastic season. They had the Blackhawks on the ropes. They led that series 3-2, and they could not seal the deal. And to Joel Quenneville and the Blackhawks' credit, they won Game 7. They won Game 7 on the road.
Yeah, I mean...
That's pretty impressive.
They had an impressive run. I don't know if I could go that far to make that prediction for next year, but listen, I wouldn't be shocked if both teams were back there next year. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ranger fans may have something to say about that.
It's true. It's true. I mean, it's entirely possible. The Rangers need some help. I mean, don't forget, not having Zuccarello hurt. They got outskated. Rick Nash struggled. He struggled against Tampa, like Steven Stamkos struggled against Chicago. 6 games, no goals for the league's best, one of the league's best top goal scorers. Another team, obviously, you can't forget about is the Los Angeles Kings. I mean, there was besides the Bruins, there's another team. How did they not make the playoffs? They just had a weird regular season.
I know. Let me tell you something. Everybody in the West, they're like, oh, shit. We hope they don't make it because they always go on some kind of magical run once they could squeak in there and then they get hot and that's it.
But they got one of those guys, you know, they got a playoff tested goalie. Jonathan Quick has 2 cups and he's a Connecticut kid. So I like that too. So, you know, if you're a Kings fan, feel good about yourself because they'll be back next year. Rangers will be back next year. Another team that I kind of like that could make some noise next season, they stunned a good Blues team in this Western Conference playoffs, and that's the Minnesota Wild. Wow. They did get swept by the Blackhawks in the conference semis, and they're not a better team. But there's a team that we could look out for. In the East, Don Sweeney's going to have a lot of work to do. Don Sweeney, the new general manager of the Boston Bruins. We got to keep Dougie Hamilton. The guy's a future defensive beast and a possible two-way guy like a Ray Bourque, but you have to keep him in the fold. They got plenty of young talent. They still got some great players. Tuca, Chara, who's probably got maybe 2 years left. Bergeron, Krejci, Marchand. Bruins may have 1 cup run left before they got to start selling these chips and getting some draft picks and starting from scratch. I love Riley Smith. I think the Bruins have maybe 1 more cup run, perhaps 2, left in them before they got to start start breaking this team up. One team that's on the rise, Dr. G, still not close to cup potential, is of course your Devils. They stockpiled a decent amount of picks too. So
yeah, I mean, I don't ever doubt Lou Lamoriello because you know he knows talent, and at one time they were one of my most consistent teams that I had, always making the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Rough couple of years. I mean, obviously, what was it, 3 years ago they were in the finals. So
yeah.
I mean, on a nice little magical run that I did not was very unexpected.
Right.
So. it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how they approach things this year. I'd like to see them make the playoffs this year. That would be a nice goal. But, you know, I have to see how things shake out. It's a little too early for me to predict.
Right. No, I mean, we'll talk again. We'll talk more, you know, throughout the summer. We'll have TJ back on to talk about the NHL offseason and get you ready for next season. Can the Chicago Blackhawks win a fourth cup in 7 years, which would be ludicrous? This isn't like the late 70s Montreal Canadiens. This team didn't even finish with the most points in the West, but they had a lot of injury issues. Taze was hurt. Kane was hurt at times. But talk about a guy, and I always thought Chara was a hell of a defenseman, but Duncan Keith, who is, I think, CM Punk's favorite player, won the...
best in the world.
That's right. And they won the Conn Smythe. He won the Conn Smythe, and he had a goal, one of the game-winning goals. So... we'll see. We'll see what happens in the offseason. But the Chicago Blackhawks, third Stanley Cup championship in the last 6 seasons, in this decade, since 2010. We go now from the frozen pond to the hardwood, and we have an NBA champion. And unlike the Blackhawks, it's one that has not sniffed anything in quite a while. Just an update. In the U.S. Open, Brandon Grace and Jordan Spieth are tied at 5 under. They're both through 15 holes. They have 3 holes left.
Wow.
And unlike the other majors, for those that don't know, they play a 5th round tomorrow if there is a tie. They don't play sudden death in the U.S. Open, as far as I know. No, they don't. So if these two guys finish tied, and look at that, Jordan Spieth just... birdied 16, so he now has a 1-shot lead over Brandon Grace. But if they do finish tied, there'll be a 5th playoff round tomorrow afternoon. So we'll keep tabs on that. By the way, Fox is actually doing the golf coverage. I talked to my brother Friday. We were chatting on the phone, and he, because I said to him, I said, you know, he's a huge golf fan and he watches more than I do, and he said it's weird seeing, like, you almost think that Joe Buck is trying to become like the poor man's Jim Nance, you know, trying to like dip his toe into every single sport.
Right.
He says he's okay. Nance, as much as Nance, in my opinion, and you and I have met Jim Nance, very nice guy. As much as Jim Nance is a good golf guy, he's a good golf guy. I don't think he does a decent NFL game. He's okay. I don't like him for the NCAA tournament. I just don't think he brings enough excitement. I don't think he's that kind of jazzy jazz kind of energy for college hoops. But he does. He's a perfectly good golf guy, and I don't think he's bad doing play by play for NFL. In any event, in any event, Joe Buck is doing this golf, and I haven't watched it, so I don't know how good he is. My brother says he's not bad. He's okay. And I always find it funny that you and my brother both think that he's the voice of the Yankee dynasty, even though he can't stand them. That's pretty funny.
Well, there's a lot of Yankee fans. I don't get crazy about this stuff. But, yeah, I mean, when I hear his voice in the postseason, it just, you know, reminds me of those days, you know, because that's the voice we heard.
Yep. But anyway, we were talking – that's a totally different story. But anyway, we're keeping tabs on the U.S. Open for you. Jordan Spieth just birdied 16, so he's got a 1-shot lead. Unlike the Stanley Cup playoffs, Dr. G, where we had an experienced team winning its third championship, for the first time since 1975, the Golden State Warriors are NBA champions. They defeated the Cleveland Cavaliers 4-2 in the NBA Finals. They won Game 6 on, I think it was Tuesday night, or was it Wednesday night? Tuesday night at in Cleveland. So a 5th consecutive Finals appearance and 6th of his career for LeBron James, and he is now 2-4. 2-2 with Miami, 0-2 with Cleveland. Remember, he made it back.
Well, I have to say, you know, LeBron, I mean, I'm not a LeBron fan, but you have to give him credit. He played his heart out in this series. I mean, he had there's a lot of injuries to the team. He tried to take the team on his back, and I don't care, you know, any of the greats, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, Michael Jordan, they always had their, you know, their key guys. You know, it's a team that wins. And LeBron basically was trying his best and just came up short. Just didn't have enough.
Hmm.
But not from his doing. I mean, he gets a lot of flack, and I sometimes I get it. But he played his heart out.
Mm. Yeah, he did. I mean, he averaged almost 40 a game. We were here, Dr. G. The crew was here. We were watching Money in the Bank last Sunday, and we had on the computer, we had game 5 in of that series out in Oakland. The Warriors won that series. Let me just confirm the final. I think it was like 102-89, something like that. Let me double check. But any event, they barely broke. I think they broke. I don't think they broke 90 points. And oh, fucking NBA, Jesus, stupid ESPN. Enough with the fucking ads. What is this for, anyways? Piece of crap. Sling. Give me a break. 104-91. They won. The Warriors won. Here's another series. Just like the Stanley Cup Finals, Cleveland took a 2-1 lead, and then the Warriors won 3 in a row.
They put a scare into the Warriors.
They did. Golden State won that series. Golden State won that game 104-91, game 5. So Cleveland had scored 91 points, and I think LeBron had like 42 of them. So, he did everything he possibly could. But Stephen Curry was fantastic. 37 points in that game.
No, he was. I mean, let's not take away from Stephen Curry. But again, they knew that they weren't going to be able to totally shut down LeBron. But with all the injuries, they shut down the rest of the team, and they played it perfectly.
LeBron had 40, 14, and 11. He had a triple double in that game. So 40 of his team's 91 points. And then that was game 5. And then game 6 in Cleveland, the Cavs won 105-97 to win the title. Surprisingly, I think everybody thought Stephen Curry was going to win the series MVP. It went to Andre Iguodala, who played very well and was voted the finals most valuable player.
Just can't knock LeBron, but I mean, you got to give the Warriors credit. I mean, man, what a decision. I say this on all the shows that Steve Kerr made.
Yeah.
Not going and taking that disaster of a Knicks job and going to Golden State. I mean, just unbelievable. And Golden State had a good team.
They had an exceptional team, yeah.
But he did a good job. He came in there and you know, implemented his system and, you know, made him NBA champions.
Yep. Now, looking ahead to next season, is Golden State the favorite? No, I don't know. You'd have to say if Cleveland was healthy. I mean, if Kyrie Irving was healthy, if Kevin Love was healthy.
That killed. I think Kyrie Irving was healthy. I could have seen that series going 7 games. And
I think the games would have been closer, absolutely.
And I could see – I wouldn't be surprised if Cleveland would have won. I know before the series began, you know, I picked Golden State, which they did win, but – just the way LeBron, I didn't think, I mean, LeBron just took it to another level. I mean, you can't, like I said, you can't knock him.
No, not at all.
And honestly, I mean, again, I didn't think, remember, this Cleveland team was not as talented as his Miami teams.
No, but if you have a healthy Kyrie Irving and you have a healthy Kevin Love, this Cleveland team is pretty badass. So with everybody healthy, the Cavs, definitely the best team in the East, better than the Hawks. And if Chadley Campbell was here, he'd tell you the same thing. Easily the Cavs are a better team than the Hawks. I saw that in the playoffs. The Bulls, another team that's got talent, but again, mysterious, you know, the enigma that is Derrick Rose. Who knows what the future holds? They have a new head
coach. Always injured.
And they have a new head coach. I think the Wizards could be on the rise. I still think your boys are an enigma as well. The Brooklyn Nets. I don't know what to expect from them. I like Lionel Hollins, but you have a lot of money issues there.
A lot of money issues.
There's rumors that Putin's boy there wants to sell the team. So I don't know. I think the Nets are an enigma right now. They may not have as. I think the Islanders might have more sellouts next year. I don't know about that.
Oh, you're being a little smartass.
I don't think that's true. I don't think that'll happen. But I think there. I think Brooklyn is. I think there's some question. There's some huge question marks on the horizon for them. I mean, not as many as the Knicks. I mean, the Knicks are an unwatchable pile of porridge and puppets trash can. But you know, the Nets have some questions.
Without a doubt.
And I tell you, Brad. His name just escaped my head. Brad Stevens. I almost called him Brad Butler, but he coached Butler. Brad Stevens, I think, did a hell of a job with the Celtics. 40-42, actually got the 7 seed. Did not have the talent, I think, a lot of people thought, to make the playoffs. I mean, they got whacked by Cleveland, but, you know, kudos to them, too. So, obviously, we'll look ahead to the draft, and on our next regular show, maybe we'll grab our man Grant Hughes from Bleacher Report, talk about the draft. We talked about it briefly the last time he was on. You know, is it going to be Towns? Is it going to be Okafor? Timberwolves have the first pick. Lakers have the second pick. They're talking about the kid Russell from Ohio State, the guard. So there's a lot of question marks in the draft. So maybe post-draft we'll have our man Grant Hughes back on, and we'll talk a little bit about what this means for the 2015-2016 NBA season.
Wow, we're already talking about next season for sports. Wow.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
It is crazy.
But congratulations to Stephen Curry, Steve Kerr, and your Golden State Warriors. NBA champions for the first time since 1975.
Danny Tanner's happy.
Danny Tanner is happy because back in the 80s, he was the only Warriors fan.
<That's
true. laughs> So, any let's see if there's any news and notes around the NBA. Of course, Tom Thibodeau was fired. I mean, it's amazing the numbers this guy had in, you know, the numbers this guy had as a coach for the Bulls, but obviously something happened in Chicago because he was like the golden child when he left the Celtics bench, and you know, he was the guy that everybody, you know, thought was going to be the guy that was going to bring the Bulls back to the
promised land,
and clearly that did not happen. So, so we'll see what happens in Chicago. I am blanking at the moment on who the new head coach of the Chicago Bulls is. I'm going to have to look that up right now because I am blanking. But if you want more great NBA talk, well, of course, listen to the NBA Team Podcast with Andrew Reich and Adam Murray. You remember Adam Murray, the Boogie of the Bayou. The new head coach is Fred Hoiberg. That's right, duh. Fred Hoiberg left Iowa State to become the Bulls head coach. So we'll see. Fred Hoiberg's a guy my brother always said didn't belong in college. He had the chops to be an NBA coach, so here's his opportunity. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, anyway, check out everything NBA with your NBA Team Podcast. In fact, they just posted one a couple days ago talking about previewing the draft.
These nicknames for everybody. That's what I want to know.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Let's see. The original nickname for Reich was the Bengal of the Bayou, because he lives in Louisiana and he's an LSU fan. Bayou.
I remember.
I don't know where the word boogie came from. He said, "Oh, you know what? It was somebody's nickname," and I giggled at it. And I should say giggle. That's a chick term. I chuckled at it.
Yeah, you giggle a lot, but that's
I. And you opened the door to that one. And then I started calling him the Boogie of the Bayou. PICs is, I mean, JR and I have had that since episode one of the Place to Be podcast. We've been PIC since the beginning. Like, you and I have been compadres for, Jesus Christ, October, I'll have known you for 23 years. Like, you and I are compadres. Like Susan and John. Oh, John! Except I'm not under the desk, and you're not blowing fly balls as pop ups or whatever. And the 15th out's not brought to you by Geico or whatever the hell it is.
I love when you do your little impersonation.
Oh, John! I don't know. I have various nicknames. Who else do I have? What other nicknames do I have? Well, Jordan Duncan's JD. That's easy. Steve Willie is the conscience of Main Event because it's Steve Willie. Can never say a bad thing about Steve Willie. Ben Morse, Benjamin, is my favorite person on the planet. I got nicknames for everybody. Will from Texas. We got that. We kind of borrowed that from me. I think Justin came up with that too. So yeah, I got nicknames for everybody. Joel, I don't have a nickname for. Joel Barnhart. I don't have a nickname for him. Anyway.
No, you really don't.
Congratulations to the Golden State Warriors once again.
Yes.
Update on the U.S. Open as we are talking. Let's see. Jordan Spieth. Well, Brandon Grace double bogeyed 16. So that pretty much opens the door to Jordan Spieth winning the U.S. Open. He's got a three-shot lead. So barring Jordan Spieth totally screwing the pooch, he is going to win the U.S. Open at Chamber Bay out in Washington State. Talk a little baseball that we did not get to with Joel. We'll talk about it now. Once again, we mentioned Max Scherzer throwing a no-hitter on Saturday. But another guy hit a milestone. The face of the New York Yankees. The face of society. The face of everything good in the world.
You know, you're such a jerk off.
And the third major league player, Dr. G, to get his 3,000th hit via the home run. The first one was Wade Boggs in 1999. The second one, as you know, Mr. Derek Jeter in 2011.
That's right.
And now, A-Rod, Alex Rodriguez, homered Friday night off of Justin Verlander for his 3,000th hit. In fact, Saturday, he hit his 3,001st hit was a home run, too.
Yes, JR's man crush.
There he goes. I will admit that it seems very subdued, unlike Jeter. Jeter ended up having his own show the next day or whatever the hell it was on Yes. But I think fans are happy. I think the Yankees are kind of happy that it happened on their turf. Do you feel the A-Rod, and this is not personally questioned to you, but let's be honest, does it feel like the A-Rod angst is starting to temper a little bit? Because he's not having a bad season. You guys are in the race in the American League East.
Let's put it this way. You know how fans are. You know how sports fans are. As long as you're winning.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares. Exactly. You know, I think people, you know, New York's a weird place. You know, New York will give you your chances. I mean, look at Doc and Daryl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the fans have always been behind them. And obviously, there's a little bit of a different situation. Again, this is where me and probably the new generation, such as, you know, or a generation that's a little younger than me, including JR, will disagree. I don't have any feeling for these steroid guys. Sorry. You know, we don't know who did the whole.
Oh.
But we know there are people that got caught, and he's one of them. And I just don't have use for these guys. But the thing is that he's come back. He's trying to do the right thing. Is it genuine or not? You know what? I don't know. I mean, I honestly was, you know, kind of jumped a little bit back on his bandwagon after 09, you know, in 09 when he came back and, you know, he admitted what he did and all that kind of stuff. You know, I was willing to forgive him, and then he goes back and does it again, and then he starts fighting with Major League Baseball and, you know, the Yankees and but it seems like, you know, he's been humbled.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying and doing all the right things. So at this point, you know, will he ever become a favorite of mine? No. Do I acknowledge his records the same way as I acknowledge Derek Jeter's records? No, it's just not going to happen. But you know what? If he proves to hopefully stay clean, I mean, he gets caught once again, then you know what?
I don't think that's going to happen, though. I think A-Rod haters want it to. I think they're waiting for the other shoe to drop. I do. And I don't think it's going to happen. I think he's had to have learned his lesson. For a guy who cared so much about his image, I can't see him getting caught again. I don't think he's that dumb. I don't think he's. I think he's run out of stupid cousins. So, I don't know. Speaking of guys with questionable character and or stats, David Ortiz hit his 476th homer today, passing two guys who have pretty good character and records, and that is both Stan Musial and Pops Willie Stargell, to move to 29th on the all-time home run list. And let's not talk about home runs. That's a whole other story.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, again, there are people in this, the newer generation, and maybe these guys will eventually get in the Hall of Fame because maybe these people in this generation will be more forgiving because, you know, I don't like that. Well, everybody was doing it. What do you mean everybody was doing it? Not everybody was doing it. We don't know who did and who didn't, but no, I want to say that we do. Some people have been outed. And those people, unfortunately, are going to get vilified. Now, are there some people that probably have gotten away with it? Yes. But the point is that if guys like A-Rod, who have been caught not only once, but twice, mm-hmm. you know, you can't expect people to be like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to forgive and forget. But I think people are willing to forgive, you know, in the short term. But when it comes to records and everything, I mean, these records are sacred in Major League Baseball, that you're going to have people that are going to have a problem with it.
Right.
And, you know, the thing is, I feel the Yankees have softened a little bit. No, they didn't go crazy like they did Derek Jeter. But, you know, what everybody doesn't understand, too, is that the Yankees also go a little above and beyond for milestones for homegrown Yankees.
Guys who did all the stats there, right. Most of the stats there. Right.
So, don't get me wrong. The Yankees signed A-Rod originally because they thought he was clean. They knew Bonds was a problem, and they figured, wow, this could be the guy. And Major League Baseball, trust me, wanted A-Rod to be that face, to be the guy to pass Bonds, to get past that black mark that they've had. Now, granted, Bonds has never even – A-Rod's gotten more stuff on him than Bonds has.
The one thing I'll disagree with you on – I think there was a guy that they had even higher on their list because of his bloodline, and that's Ken Griffey Jr. I think he was even higher on the face of MLB list than A-Rod was.
What I'm saying is by the time A-Rod started really making his mark, you already started seeing the decline in Jr. by then. Mm. You know, in the early 2000s after he had signed with
The Reds,
so... I really think they had high hopes for A-Rod. I really do.
What do you sound like? You're in one of the Geonosis labs. Are you mixing some kind of weird chemicals?
No, I got my dog driving me nuts.
Oh, that guy. Shouldn't he be a mascot? Which team do we? What minor league team do we go see that has the dogs as the fucking bat boys?
What is that? The Thunder.
The Thunder, right? The Trenton Thunder? That's right. You want to know a nice thing that was done in sports? We're talking about these, you know, creeps and steroids and stuff. But I want to get back to that steroid point. And I know we beat this point to the ground about Mike Mussina, but I'll say it now and then I'll get to this good story. For those that want to say about the steroid era and all those bats and all those stats, yet at the same breath think that Mike Mussina does not belong in the Hall of Fame, that's a bunch of BS. Because if you look at that guy's numbers, in the heart of the roid era, this guy was putting up 18 wins, 250 strikeouts, you know, high, you know, good, solid ERAs. You know, if you had like a 3.9 ERA in the late 90s, you were doing pretty damn good because the league ERA was like 4.7. And here was a guy putting up ERAs in the high twos and low threes.
I mean, but then you look at guys like even like a Burt Blyleven. He was a compiler.
Right.
I mean,
but he was a compiler during a time where pitching was the more dominant, dominant side of the ball than hitting was. You didn't see a lot of 40 home run guys during Burt Blyleven's era in the late 70s into the 80s. There was a guy here and a guy there. But in the 90s, when guys were throwing up, you know, 65 home runs and 160 ribbies and, you know, 400 total bases, here's Mike Mussina, who's got ERAs in the 2.9s and 3s and 3.1s and all the, you know, here's a guy who had to face the Orioles. Well, not the Orioles lineup. He was on the Orioles. Here was a guy who faced Cleveland's lineup. Here was a guy who faced Texas's lineup. A guy who faced the Yankees lineup. not that yours was roided up. My point is there were some American League lineups, and the Red Sox in those, you know, late 90s, early 2000s, those lineups were gacked.
Yeah, I mean,
and he was putting up Hall of Fame numbers, in my opinion, for this era. You know,
I agree.
So anyway, I think it's six of one and half dozen of the other. I know you hate that expression, but so congratulations to Alex Rodriguez for his 3,000th hit on Friday night against he hit a home run off of Justin Verlander, and then he homered on.
About doing these podcasts, like I'm actually now I got to actually because this pain in the ass dog that I have has to go out, so I'm actually.
Look at you, live on location from the street.
At the same time as we're recording here, which
the mean streets of Norwalk, but the doctor is. Look at this. Well, that's all right. I always talk about Andrew Reich's hammock in his backyard that Ben Moore sleeps in. So it's all right. Anyway, I want to talk about a happy moment, a happy thing in sports. Well, a happy. I shouldn't say happy. A heartfelt thing in the face of tragedy. Of course, we all know what happened Wednesday night when that senseless buffoon shot up a church in Charleston, South Carolina, killing 9 people. Well, the Carolina Panthers donated $10,000 to each family and to the church because the pastor got shot too. During a Bible study, a guy walked in and just started shooting people up. So he donated Jerry Richardson $100,000 to it's the Mother Emanuel Hope Fund. And the church is called the Emanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church. And the Panthers donated $10,000 per family of the 9 people shot, and then $10,000 because the pastor got shot too, $10,000 to the church. So $100,000. So, you know, everything we talk about the scumbag NFL and all that backdoor dealings and whatever's gone on in the NFL over the last few years, Ray Rice and you know, Adrian Peterson and that kind of stuff. Here's a good thing. So a thumbs up for me.
Really nice thing.
Yeah, thumbs up for me for the Carolina Panthers and Jerry Richardson for the nice thing he did. $100,000.
Without a doubt. That's really a nice.
Yeah. So,
I mean, listen, it doesn't bring back anybody's family members that are lost or anything like that, but it just, you know, helps ease a little pain and helps with the grieving.
It does.
And it's tough when you hear these things, but you know, the sports world usually will get involved and usually do the right thing at one point or another. But that's a really nice, very, very nice gesture.
Well, high drama at the U.S. Open update. Jordan Spieth double bogeyed 17. So there is now a three-way tie atop the leaderboard. Louis Oosthuizen, Jordan Spieth, and Dustin Johnson all at 4-under. And then there's 3 guys at 3-under. And Brandon Grace is still on the course. So we could conceivably have a 4-way tie.
Wow.
First, which means all 4 guys would play a 5th round on Monday. So
yeah, I like a little drama. That's
a little
fun.
Drama. So, and then the they call it the Open Championship, but it's technically the British Open. That takes place in a few weeks at the old course at St. Andrews out in Scotland. And then the PGA Championship's in August, and I forgot where that is. I think it's in where is the PGA Championship? I don't remember. Anyway, that's in August.
I don't know. I have to be honest with you. I know we do a sports show. Golf just isn't my thing.
Well, we don't have a lot of golf listeners anyway, but I like mentioning it.
Just hasn't done it for me. But it's funny, you know, because a couple of people we know play golf. They want me to try it, and because it's funny, my Uncle Joe was never into golf, and somebody got him to try it. And, you know, he retired, and now he loves it. Now he can't stop playing.
Yeah. Yep. Me too.
Well, you know, Chris Golo, 7 minutes ago. Wow, what a finish at the Open.
There you go. That's why I didn't have him bothering, because I know he'd be glued to the TV for that. So, do you care about the Women's World Cup?
What?
Do you care? Well, that answers that question. That's one of the greatest answers. Do you care about the women? What?
What?
But the Women's World Cup is going on. And our women's team, our U.S. women's soccer team is pretty good.
Yes, they are.
I'm
just kidding.
So yeah, that was great. What? Brazil beat Venezuela. Oh wait, this was a. Oh no, sorry, that was a friendly. That has nothing to do with that. Let me see. Cups. I don't think I've ever even been to this
you
page.
Pretty much know what's going on just as much as I know.
I don't even know. I know they're playing, but I know that it's going on.
Please not have the U.S. women going to win.
Wouldn't talk about this on the sports lounge. If Senior thought that Brady that Giselle was playing women's World Cup soccer, then maybe they talk about it. But let's see. Scores and fixtures. I don't even know terminology in soccer.
I'm not even going to sit here and pretend to know what's going on because I really don't know. And you know, maybe I don't care. I don't know.
Today's scores: Australia beat Brazil.
Neymar's got his 3,000th hit. Okay, that's all we care about.
France beat South Korea 3-0, and Canada beat Switzerland 1-0 on Monday. I hate ESPN's new website. It really friggin' sucks. On Monday, cueing the drama. Oh, fuck ESPN. So the Women's World Cup is going on. I know the women won their first game. If this site didn't suck, I'd give you an answer as to... But this site sucks. So, oh, there we go. Ah, all right. The U.S. is playing Colombia on Monday in the Women's World Cup. So
make sure you DVR that, all right?
Hey, maybe. Hey, I got up at, and you know me, I'm not a morning person. I got up at 6:30 in the morning to watch the U.S. hockey team play Russia in the Winter Olympics. Did we win anything in that? I don't even think we won a bronze. We won that game, which is pretty awesome. And then we did do shit after that. I think Canada won the gold medal again. But any event. Summer Olympics is next year. I wonder where it is.
Yeah, I like the Summer Olympics.
I've always liked the summer more than the winter. The only sport in winter I care about is hockey, really. I mean, I like the luge and the bobsled. That's kind of cool. I think it's in I want to say is it in Korea? Is that where next year's Oh no, it's in Rio. That's right. It's in Rio where they have no friggin' money and they can't build anything. It's a slum. I feel bad for Pelé though. Pelé went to the IOC and pimped the crap out of Rio as a destination. Meanwhile, he didn't realize that they were friggin' broke and had no money and they're like, stuff's not built yet, and what a disaster.
But you know what? Almost every time you hear there's
That's
always
all rigged
problems.
Anyway. The whole thing's rigged anyway.
What's that?
The whole thing's rigged anyway. Not the Olympic, not the sports, not the sports themselves, but the whole planning process and all that. That's all a bunch of crap, to be honest with you.
It's all about the dollar.
It is all about the dollars. I think in 2020, it's in Korea.
You know, I used to know all this. I don't even know anymore.
Yeah, I think it's in Korea. But 2018 summer games, or 2018 winter games. No, 2016. Wait a minute. I'm confused now. Last year was the Winter Olympics. Where were they? Man, I totally forgot. Tells you how memorable they were. Where were those Olympics? Were they in Russia?
Russia was the last, yeah.
Right? It was last year, right? It was Russia?
Yeah, Russia, I believe it was.
Let's see. Oh, okay, here we go. 2016 Rio. 2020, it's in Tokyo.
Really?
Yeah, it's in Tokyo.
Hmm.
So.
Well, we're all over the place tonight, aren't we?
Yeah.
How do we get to the Olympics?
how did we get to the Olympics? Oh, because I asked randomly after we talked about after you and I had a stirring discussion about the Women's World Cup.
Yeah, that went really well.
That went over like a fart in an intro.
Not one of our best segments.
No. Well, that's all right. That's right. We have a soccer expert on. I think Jeff Machado likes soccer. Let's see. Now, the Winter
Olympics. I got his 3,000th hit. That's all I want.
Hey, right. Where was it? Oh, yeah, it was in Sochi. It was in Sochi, Russia. Okay, here it is. All right, South Korea is where the 2018 Winter Olympics are, in Pyeongchang. I ain't getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning for that.
That surprise.
The 1968 Winter Olympics were in Grenoble.
You wouldn't get up if it was 8 o'clock in the morning, alone 4 o'clock in the morning.
That's true. The 1968 Winter Olympics were in Grenoble. Do you think, like, Andre the Giant lit the torch? And Fink was there? Now lighting the torch from Grenoble in the French Alps. That would have been pretty cool, wouldn't it? Andre with his big fluffy 70s perm. Does he light the torch?
You are too much. I think you know what? You ate too many hot wings today.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I ate some. We went to Hooters today. Oof. Not as good as Boneheads. Not as good as Boneheads, but not bad.
The spicy garlic was really
spicy
good.
Garlic was very good. I'd like to see. I got to talk to our man Matt next time I'm at Boneheads. I got to talk to JR the next time those guys, him and Roger and the guys are at Bonehead. See what kind of garlic hints they have on some wings.
You know what? I'm going to argue with all of you because that's what I do.
Uh-huh.
You got to eat them on the bone, all right? Real men eat wings on a bone. You eat it, you get your hands dirty, you get your hands in there, and you
just sounded like JR's father when he talks about Fenway. The place is a dump.
It's a dump.
You got to eat them on the bone.
You got to get it. You got to eat it off the bone.
I don't mind eating wings on a bone. I don't mind.
You know what I'm saying? It's just like it's not eating wings when you don't eat on a bone.
I don't know.
I just – that's just the way – that's me. That's me. That's the way I like it.
And that's it. And if anyone else does
eat
on the bone, that's it.
Simple as that.
Go stay.
The wings we had today were good.
Watch the Women's World Cup.
Your reactions are the best.
Wow. They were hot today, though. I'm not going to lie. But, I brought it upon myself because I ordered the – what did I call it? Triple Dog Dare flavored wings at Hooters, but –
yeah, the spicy garlic. I guess they were rated 5. Both of those, so they were
yeah,
good.
Yeah, they were good.
Yours were pretty good too. What was it called? Trickle.
Oh, which ones? The one I had.
Yeah,
that one's called Triple Dog Dare.
Triple Dog Dare. Yeah.
You could definitely taste the habanero, and then the other flavor I had was I think it was General Tso's chicken.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that was at the food, the wings at Hooters are okay, but I would say that in terms of flavor variety, nothing beats Boneheads. Nothing beats Boneheads. Boneheads.
They have the most.
You had Boneheads last week.
Yes, I did.
What'd you think of the blister in the sun? They're good, aren't they?
I thought they were very good.
They got a good bite to them. I love the new ones, Remedy. Those are delicious. So looking ahead to the Olympics, next year the summer games.
Love wings.
Next year the summer games. Are in Rio. Then 2018, the Winter Olympics are in Pyeongchang, South Korea, and then in 2020, the Summer Olympics will be in Tokyo. So we're two Far East back to back Far East. Almost said WrestleMania. Olympic Games. So anyway, there we go. Quick update on the U.S. Open before we go to break. Let's see. According to the ticker thing here. Jordan Spieth birdied 18, and he won the U.S. Open. So there you go.
Yay.
So after almost blowing it with a double bogey on 17, he birdies 18, and Jordan Spieth wins the 2015 U.S. Open at Chamber Bay in Washington State. When we come back, we are going to play we're going to have a sit-down from earlier in the week that the doctor and I had with our MLB analyst, Joel Barnhart, talking about baseball and everything going on in the majors, first couple months into the season as we hit June. That coming up next on The Extra Point.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation, placetobenation.com, The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner. At least we hope.
Place to Be Nation's Justin Rosero here. In addition to the Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes and PlaceToBeNation.com. You can check out myself and Scott Criscolo on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, home of great interviews and our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews. If you need your fix of current wrestling talk, we have plenty of options for you there, including Main Events, which features a roundtable discussion led by PTBN analysts and special guests, our monthly pay-per-view reaction show, including immediate feedback and discussion for WWE, NXT, Ring of Honor, and New Japan Super Shows, and Wrestling with Optimism, which focuses on the positives of the business. Also, be sure to relive wrestling's past with Graham Cawthon's excellent exclusive History of Wrestling podcast, Dylan Hales and Dave Musgrave's Wrestling Culture podcast, our monthly pay-per-view rewind roundtable series led by Ben Morse, and the Dangerous Alliance podcast starring myself and Pro Wrestling Only's Will, diving into various subjects in the form of exercises and games. Sports fans have plenty to dive into as well. We feature The Extra Point with Scott Criscolo and Dr. G, The Kings of Sport featuring Live Audio Wrestling's godfather Nate Milton, The Sports Sound hosted by Cowboy and Cowboy Sr., as well as the NBA Team Podcast, which takes a year-round deep dive into pro hoops. PTBN also proudly features Richard and the Mailman podcast, which specializes in the world of TV, thought leadership, anger, and irreverence. As mentioned, all of these shows are available on PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. PTBN is also home to the tremendous in-depth features on pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments, and more. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, Scott Keats, RSPWFAQ.com blog, and Piledriver.net.
The Place to Be Nation and Pro Wrestling Only are proud to present the PWO PTBN Podcast Network. Join us for a variety of great shows that explore all the facets of professional wrestling.
Join good old Will from Texas for our Place to Be Nation reaction shows and Goodwill Wrestling, which has been kicking since before JR had barbecue sauce.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play and join Chad and Parv as they discuss classic NWA and WCW pay-per-view.
And take in one of our newest podcasts, Exile on Bed Street, and allow Chris Zellner to give you a history lesson about important moments in wrestling's colorful past.
Listen to Johnny, Pete, Parv, and Kelly, the titans of wrestling, as they examine in depth the history of the WWF in the 1970s and 1980s.
And then there's Brain Buster, the wrestling game show, tag teams back again, the pro wrestling super show, the All Japan Excite series, and the Super Extreme Vault for some ECW.
You can hear all of these great podcasts and more on one feed. Remember, PWO, PTBN Podcast Network, part of the Place to Be Nation family.
Place the Nation, episode 41, the franchise edition. I'm Seaver, baby, of The Extra Point. PlaceToBeNation.com, your home for everything pop culture. Will and Dylan Hales talked the latest pay-per-view from Ring of Honor, Best in the World 2015, took place this past weekend. So listen to that reaction show. Brad Stutz and our man Grant Cawthon. Actually, Dan McGinn. Brad was not there. It was Graham and Dan McGinn with the newest episode of Wrestling with Optimism number 4. They talked to Ed Allen, who was the founder of WrestleCrate. Dr. G, do you know what WrestleCrate is?
No.
You sign up for a monthly fee. It's like $20 a month or $30 a month or something. And every month, you get a crate of wrestling stuff. It could be anything. You can't even choose it. It could be anything. It could be a figure. It could be a VHS tape, a DVD, a T-shirt, a headband. A belt buckle?
Like a crate full of stuff?
Yeah, like a crate full of stuff. It kind of goes along with the other, I can't remember the name of it. There's a subscription service similar to it with video games. I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head right now. Something loot. But so Ed Allen decided to do the same thing with wrestling. So he came up with something called WrestleCrate. So check it out. The newest episode of Wrestling with Optimism, Graham and Dan.
Where do they get the stuff from?
Well, they have it, I guess. Oh, maybe it's somebody's attic. I don't know. Maybe it's from maybe they're coming into my house and stealing my Jeff Jarrett King of the Mountain.
How does the subscription work? Like you have to sign up for a year or is it you just...
No, it's monthly. Go to it's WrestleCrate.com and check it out. I think it's a monthly subscription fee, and then you get, and depending how big your subscription is, you get like a bigger crate with like extra stuff, something of that nature. Anyway, why don't you, instead of asking me, listen to the show. Graham and Dan with the newest episode of Wrestling with Optimism. Jason Greenhouse has your PTBN weekend playlist. Seinfeld, the PTBN series rewatch. The guys, JR, Aaron, The Tower, JD, Greeny. Season 5, Episode 8, The Barber. Hard Traveling Fanboys with their countdown, Worst Comic Book Dads. And then last week, Dr. G, you and I, you were on the main event. It was you, me, Jason Greenhouse, JD, Steve Willey. We recap Money in the Bank. Jordan Duncan was in Columbus. And you popped in during segment 2. We talked about a little Lamech and Dream Dusty Rhodes. And, of course, we continued our oral history of TNA. So check out last week's edition of Main Event. So, and this week, we will have a special surprise podcast this week. But we'll also have the next episode of the Place B podcast. JR and I will delve into the Vintage Vault for No Mercy 2004. Was during it was about that time when your boy JBL was just maybe starting to get some cred as WWE champion. You only liked him because he said that stupid thing at that pay per view when he said his favorite team is the New York Giants, which is a bullface lie, of course. In any event, PlacementNation.com, your home for everything pop culture. All right, we are going to go again. We broke kayfabe here because Bill O'Reilly does this all the time and he gets billions of viewers. So earlier in the week when we originally. We're going to tape the show. We did a segment with the great Joel Barnhart. Of course, he is a contributor to PlacementNation.com. He did a great article on the All-Star Game, I believe it was, All-Star Game voting. And he joined us to talk about things going on currently in Major League Baseball. We're about 2.5 months into the season. And then things got out of hand work-wise and other during this past week, Dr. G, so we never got to finish the show. Well, the segment's still great. Everything's very timely. We talked about a myriad of topics. So why don't we go now to earlier in the week when you and I sat down with Mr. Joel Barnhart. Parody. Mm-hmm. That's what it's about in 2015.
Yes, indeed.
Weird teams in weird places. And let's talk about it because it's really dictating how things are looking right now in terms of trades and you know, as we get into July, into the meat and potatoes, the All-Star break. Of course, the All-Star game is in Cincinnati this year. What is it so far this year? What do you think it is? Injuries? I think injuries are a big part of it. But what's causing some – and we'll break down some specific teams. What is it about parity in 2015? There's teams that are supposed to suck that are in first place. There's teams that are supposed to – you know, be World Series contenders that are in the toilet. What's the deal? What do you think the general mood is in terms of where teams are in 2015 so far?
I think it's a good thing. You know.
Absolutely.
You definitely generate interest. I think this has been a process, like most things in baseball. You know, a lot of other sports. You know. You can change a team overnight. You know, that's why the NBA draft, the NHL draft draw huge ratings and huge sponsorships and you know, they're must see events. And the MLB draft is, you know, crickets. Because you can't change a team overnight and you can't change the game overnight. But I think what we're starting to see is the culmination of you know, a lot more pitcher-friendly game, a lot more defense-friendly game, and I think because those things are, generally speaking, more level throughout, you know, history. You know, I mean, anytime we talk about explosions of any kind in baseball, with the exception of like 1968, it's always offensive explosions, and we're definitely getting away from that. For a lot of different reasons, and I think that's part of it. I also think, you know, interleague play is a big part of it. You know, there's not as much distinction between the leagues and teams anymore. So, You know, it's a little bit of that. And I also think it's just, you know, talent's a little more spread out. You're seeing, you know, teams, you know, hang on to their prospects a little bit more, you know, not just as they're coming up, but after they come up. Free agency seems to be, you know, more and more just, you know, there's less marquee talent usually, and because teams are locking them up more, you end up with, you know, someone like Albert Pujols signing this massive deal when he's no longer worth it. So what you end up with is, you know, teams paying a lot of money for mediocre talent and kind of hamstringing themselves from, you know, really, you know, making impacts. And so you end up with weaker free agent classes as well. You know, it's fun in its own way. I mean, I kind of miss super teams once in a while, but you know, I think the big picture, it's a good thing.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you the truth, Joel. You know, I was saying someone the other day, you hit 25 home runs, 100 RBIs, you're going to make yourself a lot of money.
Yeah,
in this league these days, and it's weird. I mean, I think so for so many years, teams were investing in pitching.
Yeah.
And I think now the pitching is actually, you know, outplaying the hitting, even though there's a lot of injuries with pitching. But it just seems like there's just – every time you turn around, there's more and more pitching. I mean, the Tampa Bay Rays just amaze me. It's just they always got somebody. They get rid of somebody. They got somebody right behind them ready to go.
They are just – it's amazing what they're doing. I mean, they're first in the American League in ERA with a 3.29. And I mean, they lost Alex Cobb. You know, they lost Matt Moore last year. Drew Smiley's been hurt. I mean, it's pretty amazing. And, you know, again, I think that's part of the cycle. I think that, you know, all the Tommy Johns that we're seeing now, which aren't going to go away for a while. I mean, you know, you're seeing these 25, 26, 27-year-olds, you know, who came up in Little League and college and high school getting overworked. Well, there's still a generation of talent behind them that went through the same thing. We're only now making those changes.
Right.
So we're in for another 5, maybe 10 years of this good pitching coming up and getting hurt. But I think what's going to happen eventually, it might be 10 or 15 years, but you're going to see hitting turn around. Partly because, you know, parents are going to tell their kids, I don't want you pitching. You're going to hit. And, you know, college coaches are going to be more careful with their pitching and, you know, and a host of other things. I mean, just the way the game is played, you know, hitting brings in fans generally. So, I don't think the parity is going to last too long. I think once the hitting comes back into vogue in 5 or 10 years, the parity is going to go out the window. But we should, you know, enjoy it while we can.
I think Major League Baseball is going to want the offense to start coming back around.
Because... Well, yeah, that's what they did in 68. You know, they changed the mound and they changed some rules. And, you know, I mean, back in the 20s, they changed the ball. So, yeah, they're going to let it ride for now because, you know, fans are still coming in droves. But, yeah, when that tapers off, yeah, they'll do something.
I mean, like I tell you, and we've spoken about it on the show before, I just get so nervous that, you know, let alone kids, even adults don't even sit and watch full games anymore. So, you know, it worries me. But, I mean, you know, television advertising for baseball is still pretty high and everything. So, I get worried about, like, the next generation coming around because even, like, you know, I was talking to my aunt and my family. She goes, wow, none of, you know, you know, your cousin's kids, you know, none of them are playing baseball. You know, like they're playing either soccer or football or lacrosse, but they're not playing baseball anymore. So where are the pool of players coming from? Well, I think you're going to see a lot of the pool of players are going to be coming from overseas, which has been happening, but I think you're going to see it even more.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think we're going to see a lot more Cubans coming in, especially with – you know, the success of guys like Puig and Tomas and, you know, to a lesser extent, Castillo and Soler. I think you're absolutely right. It is going to become a much broader international game, but in the same way that soccer kind of started internationally and is now becoming more Americanized, you know, in terms of its popularity, I could see baseball kind of going the opposite, where it starts to grow, you know, outward instead of inward. And I think that's going to make it more of a worldwide sport, which is going to be weird because baseball, in terms of ratings, is very regional. So
it is.
You know, it'll be interesting to see, you know, how that affects things going forward. Because, you know, while you're going to have, you know, kids in Cuba growing up wanting to be the next Puig or the next, you know, whoever, you're not going to have kids in Cuba that are, you know, that are rooting for, you know, just to pick a team, the, you know, Colorado Rockies. You know, they're probably going to root for one team, the team they know, and that's it.
Right.
So it'll be an interesting shift, but, you know, the game's been around for 100 and almost 70 years now, so it's not going anywhere. I mean, it's good to have concerns, look at them, but, you know, but well, we're better than soccer.
Yes.
You talked about pitching. We talked about how what the shift is power-wise in terms of what side of the field is more dominant. Of the 30 teams in Major League Baseball to this point, as we're recording, 18 of them, 18 out of 30, have team ERAs under 4. I think that's a lot. I mean, if you go back through the late 90s, there was maybe like 10 teams with ERAs under 4, and right, a lot of them with ERAs over 5.
Right.
The Cardinals obviously dominate. I mean, they have a team ERA of 2.65 as we're speaking right now, which is unfathomable.
It's incredible, especially when you consider that, you know, Wainwright hasn't been a part of that, and now they've lost, you know, Lance Lynn, who was arguably their second best guy.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing how good they are.
And the Pirates, 2.83.
Oh, wow.
You know?
A.J. Burnett, where'd this guy come from? It's
Another guy who wanted to pitch somewhere that nobody gave a crap. It's a Steeler town, always will be. And then the other, to round out the top 10, the Dodgers at 3.27, Rays 3.29, Royals 3.38, Athletics 3.53, which is funny considering that you know, this kind of season they've had so far. The Mets at 3.55, the Cubs at 3.59. And let's talk about our first parity team, Joel. A team ERA of 3.62, which is pretty good, and not hitting too bad either. And they have not fallen off the map yet, and that is the Houston Astros. Their hitting has tailed off a little bit. I mean, it was doing okay. Now it's second worst in the American League. They're only hitting as a team 236. Only the Mariners are hitting worse. And that's another team we'll talk about later on the flip side of parity.
Yeah.
The pitching has pretty much kept the Astros afloat. I mean, they're pretty bad in almost every other category. Let me take a look at hits. They're third from the bottom in hits. I don't think it barely hit any home runs. They might be in the bottom of that category. Let's see. They're actually leading the league. Isn't this weird? They're leading the league in home runs and are second to last in average.
That's unusual. I think that's kind of what we thought they might do going into the season, because they've got all those. I mean, they're basically a slow pitch softball team on offense, and that's, you know. I mean, that's kind of it's interesting, because that's, you know, we talked about, you know, ERAs 15 years ago would be in the fours. This is the type of team that 15 years ago would, at this point in the year, be like, you know, middle of the road, because everybody had a team like this.
Right.
I mean, you know, but yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we talked about it before, and we said, you know, when you've got half your lineup is below average in terms of, you know, their hitting ability, and the rest of your lineup isn't really that far above average, you know, you can't sustain it. I mean, their OPS plus numbers, you know, comparing them to the rest of their league, they've got, you know, a 127 from George Springer. That's pretty good. A 124 from Colby Rasmus. That's pretty good. And then everybody else is like right around 100. And that's terrible.
Right.
You know, I mean, they're just not, they're not a long-term offense. They can't, they're not going to sustain this unless, unless some of their guys drastically change their approach.
And well, I mean, no shock here. Yeah. I mean, no shock here. Again, leading the league in home runs, they're also leading the league in strikeouts.
Yeah, I was just going to ask that.
So, yeah, 586 strikeouts they lead the league in. Oh, so they're God. They're like the 1990 Brewers.
Yeah.
George,
yeah,
it's, you know, Rob Deer and Dave Parker, all
yeah,
or nothing.
It's like, it's, yeah, it's basically a team full of, you know, Rob Deer, Dave Parker, Adam Dunn. I mean, yeah, Altuve is pretty good at putting the bat on the ball. So there's, you know, he's on base pretty well, but even he's, you know, his on base is only 330, so it's not like he's, you know, some wizard at getting on base. He's just kind of, you know, he's the best of a bad lot. And then, you know, Correa looks like he could be something pretty special, but, you know, he's still in his first week in the big league. So, I saw a lot of people saying that they called him up to go for it. I kind of feel like they called him up to put life preservers on the sinking ship. just to kind of say, hey, we're gonna try to stay above water as long as we can. So let's do whatever we can to do it. I personally hope that between now and the trading deadline, they tank so they don't do anything stupid and mortgage what looks to be still a pretty decent future.
Right.
I mean, well, they had a good draft too, so.
Perfect example. Valbuena has 14 homers and 26 RBIs. Mm-hmm. He's batting 185.
Yeah, that's bad. And one of the things I sometimes will look at is I'll just take an RBI total and just subtract home runs to see, you know, because RBIs are all about opportunity. So he's driven in 12 guys that are not him.
Yeah.
That's
awful.
It's really bad. I mean, Evan Gattis has 12 homers, 39 RBIs. Chris Carter, 11 and 31. I mean,
but look at these averages. Gattis is hitting 236. Carter's hitting 206. I mean, it's awful. Yeah. It's like literally like a bunch of Rob Deers.
Yeah.
And Adam Dunn's bonkers.
Look at Valbuena, .185. It's
crazy.
It's fascinating in that car wreck sort of way.
Right.
You know, you almost, like, the other day when they faced Felix Hernandez, I was too busy to watch it, but I just, before that game, when I saw that matchup, I thought, he might actually kill somebody. He might pitch so well that just from a physical standpoint, one of his called strikes will just turn into the Ark of the Covenant and melt somebody's face. But then, of course, they scored 8 runs in the first inning. So, you know, what do I know? They beat him. They gave him like the worst start of his career. So, you know, I mean, when they're on, they're on. And when they're off, holy shit, they're way off.
Right. Now, the pitching we talked about has been pretty good. And they've also been the recipient.
Yeah.
I have to say that they've been the recipient also of a division that's very mediocre, and the Mets have been a recipient of that as well. I mean, two teams that were supposed the teams are supposed to be really good in this division, the Angels, A's, and Mariners, all suck. The Mariner lineup is brutal. I mean, they might be worse than the Astros. Let's take a look at their numbers for a minute. Their hitting numbers are fairly terrible, and obviously the guy you have to look at is the guy that's making all the money. Now let's take a look now at your boy there, Dr. G, Robbie Cano, don't you know? I mean, he's hitting 237.
Yikes.
Which is fairly terrible for him. Two homers, 19 RBIs. And this is a guy that's played in 61 games, so we're not talking injuries. He's got 240. He leads the team with 245 at-bats as of we're recording. So we're not talking about a guy who's been out for a month. 237, two homers, 19 RBIs. He struck out 46 times, which is top five on the team. I mean, if it wasn't for Nelson Cruz, this team might have like 50 losses.
Yeah.
What is going on?
They're so bad. I mean, it's almost like they heard our podcast in March where we all predicted them to like get to the World Series, and they said, well, fuck you. I mean, it's like they personally hate us. They're terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, nobody's hitting except for Cruz. Nobody. And, you know, for some reason they – I mean, Seager's hitting a little, I guess. You know, he's been all right. And, you know, Morrison's had his moments. But yeah, it's a bad lineup, and it's a bad roster construction. I think what they were counting on is I think they were figuring, you know, Cruz will be great, which he has been. Cano will be Cano. And all I think they figured all of their veterans, like Morrison and Zunino and Jackson, would all somehow have like career years. And then all of their younger guys like Brad Miller and Ackley and you know, all those younger talents would all like break out. I think
right.
I think they just were counting on too many like positive things happening. I think they were looking at, you know, the upside for every single player on their roster. And, you know, because if you take the upside of everybody on that roster, it's a pretty good roster. But predicting that the glass is half full every single time in baseball, that's just not smart. I mean, you know, and a lot of people did that. I mean, Seattle was – and their bullpen's been shit too. I mean, their bullpen's been bad. Paxton hasn't pitched well. Walker hasn't pitched well.
Yeah, I think – and I said this – I mean, we talked about this in the offseason. We did our preview about the Mariners not going after a second starter. I mean, yeah. The King's been – so should we not call him the King then, Dr. G, because he hasn't won anything? He shouldn't be a king. He
that's
ain't a king.
True.
He ain't right. A king. Felix, I mean, 9 wins as we're recording, 9 wins, 3.38 ERA. I mean, he's, you know, 82 strikeouts. He's been fantastic. Teams are hitting .208 against him. Look at the rest of this team. Happ. I mean, Jay Happ. Jesus.
He's been okay. 372, 52 strikeouts, 67 innings. Elias has been okay. Walker's ERA stinks, but he is striking out. You know, 60 batters and 65. I mean, he's probably had bad luck in addition to not pitching all that grand. But yeah, it's not a great pitching staff. But again, I think that, you know, we kind of fell prey to the, you know, well, Walker's going to have a breakout, Paxton's going to have a breakout, Iwakuma and Felix will be good. And I think, you know, I know I definitely thought the bullpen wouldn't be this horrifying. They're wow. I mean, their best relievers are Carson Smith and Charlie Furbush. So their best two relievers are a throw-in in the Doug Fister trade. And a guy who sounds like he should be a VJ for MTV way back when. It's terrible.
Right.
I mean, yeah, this is a team where I just, yeah, everybody seemed to drink the Kool-Aid. Everybody seemed to think, you know, that the entire roster was going to have a career year. And it's been almost the exact opposite of that. They've all, except for Cruz, been terrible and I just shudder to think what happens when he comes down to earth. I mean,
yeah. If
the rest of the team stays this bad, you know, I mean, what do you do? Do you trade some players? Do you fire the GM? Do you fire Lloyd? I mean, no easy answers with this group.
No. Another team in that division that's equally as dreadful in a lot of ways is Oakland. I mean, they may start selling. I mean, who knows what's going on there? Sonny Gray has had a great year. 8-3, an ERA under 2, almost threw a no-hitter. I mean, he's had a fantastic year. The rest of the team has been, you know, iffy. Han's been okay. Kazmir's, you know, pretty good ERA. He's been a little unlucky in terms of wins.
Yeah.
But I mean, they got, I mean, Clippard's 9 saves. The pitching hasn't been too bad for Oakland. I mean, I know the hitting has been a little bit of a struggle. Can they crawl out of this mess? I mean, they were a team a lot of people thought not only could compete for a wild card, but for the division.
You know, part of me wants to say, you know, that, well, Oakland is a team that you can never count out. But they've had so much turnover that I don't know if they can do it this time. I mean, you know, sometimes you can, it just takes a team a while to gel. But even if they gel, I just, you know, I don't know. I mean, the two things they've got really working in their favor is, number one, that starting pitching isn't bad.
Right.
And they've got a couple guys. They've got Griffin. I think it's Griffin who's coming back soon. And they've got, you know, so they've got decent starting pitching. And they've got, you know, Billy Bean at the head. And, you know, he's not afraid to shake things up and move guys. I do think, you know, that he probably moved too many pieces this year. I think after Oakland's collapse last year, I think he just said, well, if this doesn't work, I'm just going to blow the whole damn thing up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe, I mean, I don't think there's any one move you can point to and say that's what killed him, that's what did it. But I think he, you know, I say this a lot about managers and bullpens. I just think he pushed too many buttons in the off season, and I don't think this is a good mix of talent. There's a lot of good individual players, but I mean, you look at this roster and it reads like a couple of big league benches put together. It doesn't read like a good starting lineup at all. It's,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, Steven Vogt's pretty good, but that's
right.
That's about it.
Reddick hasn't had a bad year. 310, 10 homers, 39 RBIs. Not too bad.
He's been solid.
Yeah. Let's talk about another team that's kind of snuck up on everybody and is suddenly in the thick of the race, and this team has directly affected you, Mr. Barnhart, and that is the Minnesota Twins, who've come out of nowhere battling the Royals in that AL Central. What's been their story?
I can't figure them out. I mean, they're they're not really hitting all that well. They're not pitching all that well. I mean, their starters, their overall team ERA is like 10th in the league. It's almost 4. They're basically, I mean, they're a little bit lucky. You know, they've had a good bullpen, so they get the lead and they tend to hold it. But even that's weird because their bullpen ERA is terrible. It's like 381. It's not very good. I mean, this is like the Rubik's Cube of baseball teams this year. I cannot figure out what the hell is going on.
Right.
I mean, the only player they've got that's great is Brian Dozier, who is just out of this world good other than his batting average.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have anybody else that just jumps out at you as being anything special.
No, not really.
I mean, I cannot figure them out. I have no earthly idea how they're doing this.
I don't either.
I mean, maybe it's Paul Molitor. Maybe they just, after so many years of Garden Hire, because the Twins aren't a team with a lot of roster turnover either.
Right.
I mean, a lot of the guys who have been there have been there forever, and maybe they just got to a point where they just needed a different voice, and Molitor's been able to provide it, or maybe everybody's right and Torrey Hunter's really a great guy. I don't know. And by the way, I don't have any strong opinion on Torrey Hunter one way or the other. I just, you know, you know, he's a decent player. He's a terrible outfielder, for the love of God. He's so bad. But, but you know, I mean, people say he's a great leader and all. Maybe he is. I don't know.
He's like watching Carlos Beltran out there. Oh, God. it's like brutal.
That's a coin flip right there. Wow.
Sounds worse.
Let's talk about your team.
Do we have to?
Well, Miggy's putting up MVP numbers again. As of right now, 341, 14 homers, 45 RBIs.
Yeah, and he hit a pair of baseballs this weekend, a combined 900 feet.
Yeah, he's still a beast.
Those were and they were first pitch too. Oh my goodness. Yeah, he's just incredible. I mean, there's not a superlative that describes his offensive ability in this pitching dominated era. It's just, I mean, everybody I know, when he hits, you stop. Mm-hmm. And you just watch him hit. And then when he's finished, whatever he's done, then you go back to normal. But for that 30 seconds to a minute that he's at the plate, it's like time stops and everybody just watches, because he's just incredible.
Yeah, he is. So. Definitely. So, I mean, pitching hasn't been horrendous. David Price, 6-2, 2.44. Simon's got 7 wins, ERA 2.5, pretty good.
Surprised me.
Yeah, I me too. Verlander's back.
Yeah, I mean,
do you think that this is the moment now, maybe at this point in June, where the Tigers really try to make a big run here and kind of fortify this division as we head to summer?
I think they'll try. Yeah, I mean, like, you know, I mean, Verlander, you know, I think it seems like maybe he's starting to figure out that he can't blow people away. He has to start trusting his stuff and his mm-hmm. defense a little bit.
Right.
And good. Luckily for him, the Tigers actually this year have a pretty good defense. Dombrowski's right. done a nice job of very subtly remaking this team into a more defensive unit.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, if Sanchez can figure out what the hell he's doing wrong, 'cause he's not been very good.
Right.
5-7,
4.65 ERA. He was hurt for a little while, right? Wasn't he out for a bit? Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. If you can go Price 1, Verlander 2, Simon 3, Sanchez 4, you know, that's not bad. And then maybe if they can add another guy to be their 5, I mean, I don't hate Kyle Lobstein or Kyle Ryan, but I mean, we're one Kyle short of a boy band, so you know, I don't love them, but if they're our fifth starter, it's not the worst thing. But I wouldn't mind, you know, like Mike Leake might be a decent fit, or somebody like that would be good. And yeah, the bullpen's been okay. I mean, it's not great, but it's, you know, Soria's been amazing as our closer. Chamberlain's been all right. He's got a 1.13 ERA. Alex Wilson, the other guy in the Cespedes deal, has been solid. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's some decent arms here. You just gotta, you know, hope that maybe they add another right-handed arm to the mix, whether it's a starter or reliever. And you know, if Martinez comes back, that'll really help the offense, because they have trouble scoring when he's out of the lineup. They're a different team, even though he's bad right now. They're a better team with him in there, just because I think, you know, opposing teams right now still feel like he could club the ball. He could club a double to left any minute, you know. Any swing could be a double to left field, you know. So it's a good team. The defense has been great. Iglesias on defense is just crazy good. Like better than I thought. I mean, better than his reputation. He's right. been great. I love this catcher, James McCann. I know he's not hitting really well, but he's hitting okay. And just defensively, he's been solid. So it's a pretty good team. But, yeah, I would expect – I mean, their farm system's garbage. But I would expect Dombrowski to move the pieces that he can move.
Right.
And get a couple arms. And, you know, I mean, you never count this man out. He's it's pulled off so many just head-scratchingly amazing trades that, yeah, they're – you know, I think between the Royals and the Tigers and I hesitate to throw the Twins in there, but I think the Central's going to be – pretty fascinating to watch.
Mm. Let's head to the Dodgers division and talk about a team you mentioned earlier in the segment, and that is the Tampa Bay Rays, who are battling the Yankees at the top. Another team I don't think a lot of people expected to be at the top of the division. I mean, Archer's been fantastic. 7 wins. He's got over 100 strikeouts. He's been amazing. Odorizzi's not been bad. You know, you're talking about a first year manager. I mean, what has Tampa been doing to stay above water and actually challenging in this division right now?
They are pitching, and well, they are catching the ball. They're hitting not real well. Their hitting is, you know, I'm looking at their stats right now. Most of their ranks are 10, 11, 9, 13. They're not hitting, but they're catching the ball, and their pitching is pretty strong, and when you can do both of those things, it really helps cover for a lack of offense.
Like Longoria's said, having a down year. I mean, 266, yeah. 6 homers, 28 RBIs, not
yeah.
Longoria numbers, you know?
Right, but if we go back to that idea of subtracting the home runs, he's driven in 22 guys who aren't named Evan Longoria, so he's getting hits when it counts. So, yeah, he's having a down season, but he's still producing a pretty good number of runs considering what they've got on base. Yeah, Logan Forsyth is, you know, out of nowhere to be a decent player, 264, 346, 431, 7 homers, 13 doubles. He's been good. Steven Souza, 12 homers, 29 ribbies. Not hitting for an average, but he's hitting
right
with power. So, you know, I mean, it's not quite a triple-A lineup, but it's a quad-A lineup that can catch the ball.
What do you think, Dr. G? You've watched the Rays a few times.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, it's again, if you could pitch and play defense, you have a good shot at you know, hanging around. And again, it's a weak division. Toronto's come on really strong in the last few weeks. So this division's going to be tight. I mean, I think any one of those teams, I mean, even if the Red Sox were to go on even a little bit of a run, any one of those teams could win that division this year.
Their pitching sucks.
Oh, it does. I mean,
it sucks. It's terrible. But that's their fault. If they thought that Miley, Masterson, and Porcello was going to win them a division title, no matter how many home runs they hit, boy, they're on crack.
I mean, the Yankees are very streaky. They'll win 7-8 in a row, and then they'll lose their next, you know, 6 out of 8 games or whatever, you know. I don't know what to make of this division. Anybody has a shot, it's going to be fun because you're going to have, you know, all these teams are going to be in it unless somebody really gets hot and just, you know, runs away with it. But I don't foresee that happening.
No, I don't either. I think when we talked back in March, I know we all had trouble trying to predict some of the division winners, but I think all three of us, the AL East was the one where we all three just kind of threw our hands up and said, okay, put me down for so-and-so. And there was zero confidence behind all three of our picks.
Right.
And, you know, I think that's bearing out right now. I mean, I do think the only team that's really out of it's Boston, because that rotation is just, I mean,
it's hideous.
It's so bad. I mean, I do think that they had the right idea with Porcello. I think they thought, you know, we bring a ground ball guy in, we have a good defense behind him. I mean, I can buy the idea, but I think that their defense has let him down. Because, I mean, you know, pitching is just as much about the defense behind you as it is about executing your pitches. And they haven't done either of those things. And, yeah, it's an absolute train wreck of a team. I mean, I was reading the other day that it sounds like John Farrell is being put on a bus already. And being
amazing,
he could be given his papers any day.
The guy won him a world title.
Well,
you know,
yes, but he's got losing seasons all around that, though.
True, true.
So, yeah, I mean, it's a damn shame that the manager has to take the fall for what the general manager put together. You know, and I mean, same thing's going on in San Diego right now, although it's not as bad as Boston, but I mean, just today, Bud Black got fired because AJ Preller put together a shitty roster for him.
And they made big moves.
They made huge moves. Oh,
I mean,
God.
Kimbrell and Myers and,
yep.
What other bat did? Let me take a look.
Kemp.
I mean, and they were in first place for a decent hunk of April.
Yeah.
They got off to a good start in the last, like, month and a half. They've been absolutely in the stinker. Yeah. Kemp's hitting .249. He's got two homers. If it wasn't for Justin Upton, Lord only knows how bad this team would have been.
If it wasn't for Upton, they'd be slumming it with the Rockies right now.
Yeah, and Bud Black probably had been fired, like, 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, they're only six back, so it's not like it's impossible, but that roster just looks like, oh, it's everything that back in the preseason, every doubt that we had about that roster, the oh, I don't think the, you know, defense is going to do anything.
And he's got a pitcher that's 7-0.
It's
I mean, what a start for Shield. I mean, Cashner's 2-8. I mean, although against the Mets he struck out 12 in four innings. Only against the Mets can he every out was a strikeout. Only against the Mets can you pull that off.
That's true.
Yeah, it is. They're playing, as we're recording this, they're playing the Blue Jays, and they actually just tied the game at the bottom of the 11th. One more team I want to really get into, but we'll talk about, I'm not feeling as crappy about the Mets as I did earlier in the week when they gacked against the Braves. The doctor and I can dive, we'll chew up the Yankees and Mets, next time you're on, Joel, but I want to talk about the defending world champions who we thought were going to be bottom feeders. And right now they're sitting about 3.5 games, as we're speaking now, behind the Dodgers in the NL West. I mean, and they're another team that really hasn't hit. I mean, Panic's been okay. Posey's been okay. The lineup's pretty much the lineup. Once again, it's the pitching. I mean, Baumgartner, 7 wins, ERA just over 3. Heston's been pretty good. No hit the Mets. Again, not really a tall order right now. You know, Tim Hudson's okay. Lincecum actually hasn't been bad, 6-3. I feel like this giant pitching staff's almost looking like 2010, 2012. I mean, can this staff alone hang around enough to keep them in the race? I mean, they're gonna have to consistently keep hitting, I would think, to stay with the Dodgers. But Dodgers have been hot. They're 11 games over .500. They're playing a lot better. But I mean, Aoki's hitting .325. Panic's hitting .316. Posey's not having a bad year. .294, 9 homers, 36 ribbies.
Yeah.
Belt hit well. So, I mean, they are getting some. They are getting some production. So, I mean, can you think this can hold up?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I would say it's doubtful, but I mean, it's the Giants, man. They just seem to have this. In a lot of ways, they're almost like the Cardinals in that they just seem to keep coming up with aces. And by that, I don't necessarily mean pitching. I just mean they come up with good players who do the right things at the right times. I mean,
right.
You know, Joe Panic, yeah, he's been a really good find for them, both offensively and with his glove.
Mets passed up on him in the draft, too.
Brandon Crawford is maybe the best shortstop not in Colorado.
Yeah.
I mean, well, Peralta's up there, but man, Crawford's turned into a pretty decent hitter. And, you know, I mean, Pence is still struggling with injuries, so that kind of hurts him a little bit. But, But yeah, this is a team that I think could hang in there, and you know, if they're aggressive at the deadline, maybe go out, get a third baseman, and you know, maybe another arm to take some of the stress off of their aging starters, because that's my concern is, you know, I mean, Vogelsong is 37, Hudson's 39, Lincecum's 31, but he's probably got the wear and tear of a 35-year-old on his arm.
Wow, is Vogelsong really that old?
Yeah.
I totally forgot he was 37.
Yeah, well, he was part of a deal with the Braves for Jason Schmidt back when Schmidt was a prospect.
Wow, really?
Yeah, totally.
Wow.
Yeah, he's
totally
been around.
Forgot about that.
Yeah, yeah. It's crazy to think about that. And, you know, and I mean, Heston's 27, but, I mean, you know, he's doesn't have a pedigree, so to speak. And Bumgarner, again, he's 25, but he's got a lot of innings on his arm. So, you know, I mean, but the thing is, they've got a lot of guys in their bullpen who kind of are built to go longer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't have, other than Lopez, they don't really have a, what you call a short reliever. They've got guys that they can throw two or three innings. I think that helps keep their staff, you know, relatively fresh. You know, you can get by with Hudson throwing six innings because you know you can, you know, give the ball to Casilla for two and Romo for one or whatever you need to do.
Right.
So yeah, I think they're going to hang around. They're going to make things really hard for the Dodgers, and you know, I think that they're going to, you know, like I said, they're going to be Cardinals West.
Hmm. So. Yeah. Well, Joel, it has been a pleasure. So there was Joel Barnhart. Great job, as always, Joel. We'll talk to him after the All-Star break. Maybe during the All-Star break, talk about the first half of the season. Been a pleasure, Dr. G. Our next show, next Sunday, is going to be one of two things. It's either going to be a regular show, or it's finally going to go down. The throwdown will happen between the Extra Point and the Sports Lounge. 4-on-4 sports debates for Place to Be Nation sports podcast supremacy. I'm not sure who the Sports Lounge's fourth guy is, but I know we are going to have you, me, Joel Barnhart, and my brother Chris. So if this debate is by the word, the Sports Lounge doesn't have a chance. But you know, they've been sniping. We've been sniping. They've been trying to get on muscle our turf. They stole Andy Flanagan from us, and now he's got to sit and watch Senior light his Steve Grogan candles instead of hanging out with you in his Phil Sims feety pajamas.
That's right.
So next week could be, we'll surprise you, the big debate between the Extra Point and the Sports Lounge. So, for the Doctor and Joel, I'm Scott. The Arizona Rattlers kicked the Extra Point the other night. I think they beat the Orlando Predators in arena football. Watch that World Cup soccer, damn it. We'll talk to you next week.
See ya.
Your everlasting summer, you can see it fading fast. So you grab a piece of something that you think is gonna last. Well, you wouldn't even know a diamond if you held it in your hand. The things you think are precious, I can't understand. Are you reeling in the years? Stowing away the time? Are you gathering up your tears? Have you had enough of mine? Are you reeling in the years? Stowing away the time. Are you gathering up the tears? Have you had enough of mine?
You've been telling me you're a genius since you were 17. In all the time I've known you, I still don't know what you mean. Weekend in the college didn't turn out like you planned. The things that pass for knowledge I can't understand.
Are you reeling in the years? Stowing away the time. Are you gathering up the tears? Have you had enough of mine? Are you reeling in the years? Stowing away the time. Are you gathering up the tears? Enough of mine.
I spent a lot of money and I spent a lot of time. The trip we made to Hollywood is etched upon my mind. After all the things we've done and seen, you find another man. The things you think are useless, I can't understand. Are you reeling in the years? Sewing away the time. Are you gathering up the tears? Have you had enough of mine? Are you reeling in the years? Sewing away the time.